I think when you give people an ownership in the things that they're building, they just are so much more invested, right? Because they know that they are now owners in it. And I really like what you said, which is all of these companies, like, we need to give them credit for all of the foundational work that they've done.
Hey, welcome back to the show. I'm so excited today because we're talking about a topic that you probably love as much as I do. Cynthia, will you first get us into the conversation by telling us who you are and what problem are you solving with your business?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Todd.
Of
My
course.
name is Cynthia. I'm the CEO of dTravel, and what I'm solving is actually something very personal that I'm solving my own problem. So
Love
at
it.
dTravel, we're a Web3 powered travel ecosystem, and we're building products for the vacation rental industry to solve some of the biggest challenges around distribution, connectivity, trust and reputation, and then tooling.
I love it. All right. So dive into that a little bit, because when people hear Web 0.3, they start or Web 3.0, they start thinking crypto, they start thinking validation, authentication. There's a lot of stuff that goes with Web 3.0. How is that? Like, what are you developing for Web 3.0 with the travel industry? Because I think this is a lot of cool stuff you're doing.
Yeah, I love the question. So within Web3, what is really core to the ethos is what we call ownership. Because as the internet evolved, you had Web 1.1, which we call like reads. So you couldn't interact with it. All you could do was just read off the internet, right? So if you think about the
Right.
early days of VRBO, you had a directory. If you wanted to book something, you'd have to call somebody. Web
Right.
2 introduced what we call read and write. So now you could interact and actually do things. You could create content, you could change things. And so VRBO became this platform that you could now not only see what was available, you can now book. And in Web 3, what's evolved is this idea of ownership. So everybody that is using a product or is involved in the internet, they should get ownership within that product or that thing. And that's really core to what we're doing as well, because I come from the vacation rental industry as a
Right.
property operator or owner. I've
Cool.
been in that space for almost a decade, and
Nice.
I'm a community builder at heart. So I co-founded the largest host forum online, and I still run it today. And for me, that was about bringing together all these property managers and owners from all around the world to learn from each other
Love
and to
it.
really be a community. And with what we're building, we're trying to go back to that idea of being a community and to give everybody within our ecosystem ownership via our cryptocurrency. So the idea is that we want to help people take ownership back into their business and build up their own brand so that they don't have to use platforms like Airbnb. We do that through giving them the tools to be able to do that. And then in return for them, participating and helping us grow our ecosystem, they get our token too. So it's a fundamentally different model than what exists today.
Wow.
And, I always like to say that it's not about one company being bad or wrong. It's really just
Right.
like the model of marketplaces not working because they're extractive in nature. And so with Web3, it's all about how do we change these paradigms that we operate within and have it be more community-based. So a lot of the things that I'm going to be talking about today is going to be around community. And I think this is what makes us really different. This is what makes Web3 really different. I think for your
Right.
listeners, this is something that they really should tap into because community at the end of the day is so powerful. Like you
Right.
just can't buy community
I
and you
love
can't
it.
buy that kind of loyalty.
Well, I'm definitely into the community factor, and I'll explain later why, 'cause I don't want to steal the show, 'cause I can talk a lot about community, but I love that that's such a big piece of what you're doing. Now, I mean, a lot of people would arguably say Airbnb is not old and stale yet, but you're saying it kind of is. I mean, tell us about that problem, because as an outsider to your industry, I guess I still see that being a very cutting-edge solution, and I'm grateful for it. You're talking a lot about the marketplace and how that's not a great place. Help us understand what you're saying. Help us understand the problem.
Yeah, so I think of this as a continuum, right?
Okay.
There's always going to be people who want to use a platform or a tool like Airbnb, but there's
Right.
a lot of people, and this is this group of people, they're growing, who really
Yeah.
want to take back ownership of their business because what actually happened during COVID, and I think this was really a watershed moment for the industry, is that there were obviously mass cancellations because of the travel restrictions, right? And
Obviously, yeah.
that was Yeah, that was a really tough situation. Like, I don't think there was a right or wrong answer,
Yeah, that
but
was
what I think
tricky.
from the, Yeah, exactly. It's a difficult situation. Like somebody's going to lose. And I think for property managers, what ended up happening is that a lot of them are professional. They have big businesses. They have a staff. They have all of these properties with a lot of expenses, as you can imagine. Some of them are running multi-billion dollar businesses.
Right.
And so overnight, you go from, okay, I'm expecting, you know, tens, hundreds, millions of dollars in revenue.
Right.
And overnight, those are all gone, but I still have all of the expenses to run this business. And so they had had policies around their booking. So some had like strict cancellation, some had like moderate cancellation, but it didn't matter what you set, you just had your bookings canceled. And so I think at that moment, a lot of property managers realized, okay, well, if we're using these platforms, we're really vulnerable and we ultimately don't have control. And so there's been this movement called the Book Direct movement to actually move towards being able to form a direct connection with guests and not have that intermediary in the middle so they can set their own policies and terms. And then it ends up being cheaper for the guests as well, because now you don't have the platform fees. Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure anybody who's gone to Twitter for even a minute and looked up, you know, Airbnb, you hear so many complaints about pricing.
Yeah.
So that's also another huge factor.
It's gotten a little crazy. It's like they just replaced the hotel industry. And, you know, on a recent, we just went to Europe last spring, and it was like, we literally booked almost all of our rentals were Airbnb style. They were residences, but it was through a hotel site. And I was like, that's kind of weird. Like it has gotten a little confusing.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I think a lot of the hotel industry has seen that there's this huge market in vacation rentals. So a lot of them have either invested in their own brand or they've acquired another brand to grow that, because they obviously want market share. And so there is this interesting blurring between the lines, and also professionalization, I guess, of our industry.
Sure.
Where, you know, when platforms like Airbnb started, you had like somebody renting out a room, and now industry has just matured and become a lot more professional, where you have people running, you know, multi-units or even a portfolio of properties. And I think it's good because it's, you know, it gives a more consistent, good guest experience. But then I think there is also this shift towards it feeling not as personal. And I think that's what we're also trying to fix, is when there's a relationship directly between, you know, a property manager or host and a guest, it feels a lot more personal. I think there's just something from a psychology perspective, when you have something in the middle, somebody in the middle, you just think, oh, they're the big bad like corporation or company. And it doesn't feel like a personal relationship anymore.
Right. Well, and it also opens up the door to a whole new level of marketing, where a property owner will also feel a lot more connected to that client for return visits and things like that. You know, I've had some really positive Airbnb experiences where I think, oh man, if only I could reach out to that guy again, because that was like the coolest place. You don't really have that as much with Airbnb as you could if you're booking direct with the property owner.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really what we're trying to empower, is like you said, when you have a stay and it's a great experience, you don't really have a way to be able to continue that relationship. And so one of our products, the Travel Direct, is giving operators the ability to create a direct booking website or link that they can then share with guests to rebook or to build that branding themselves.
Running a business, honestly, can leave a lot of founders and operators feeling lonely and isolated. If you have ever felt that way, trust me, I know what it feels like. And there is something you can do about it. You've heard a lot of our guests talk about the fact that being lonely and isolated is one of their biggest challenges in trying to run and scale their business. CaptainsCouncil.com. Go to CaptainsCouncil.com right now and see what we're doing to resolve this problem. We want you to be a strong operator who has solutions and has a way to get around the challenges you're currently facing. What most founders don't understand is that you're not alone. The challenges that you're facing, likely somebody else has already overcome, and they can give you the feedback you need to overcome them. Who better than your peers, other founders, other operators who are joining with you in a small group setting, a global community setting, as well as at our in-person events to guide you through these challenges that you're facing right now. Don't give up, keep on pushing, but do it with some good advice from your peers. go check it out at captainscouncil.com and let me know what you think about the offering. We can't wait to see you there. Cool. So as we dive into that part of it, how would that then replace, though, you know, because obviously as a consumer, it's super easy just to go to Airbnb or hotels.com or booking.com and find a whole wealth of these properties. What is it going to do to that from a consumer level of being able to ease of finding availability in these areas?
Yeah, that's such a great point. You know, this is one of the reasons why I think the book direct movement has had some challenges is, like you said, even if somebody has a direct booking website, it's been really challenging for a consumer or traveler to find that because there's no sort of like aggregated right. search for direct booking sites. And so that's one of the problems right. that we identify. And that's something that we're going to be working on. And we're actually working on something, kind of talked to you about it earlier, Todd, that's going to be like AI powered search. So we're pretty excited about launching that soon.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Yeah. I just, as you were talking about that and I've been thinking about it while we're talking is, you know, yeah, I don't know if I want to get nerdy on the interview, but I mean, there's probably
yes,
some way to
do it. I love
yeah. me. All right. Let's get a little nerdy. There's got to be some way to tag every one of the properties that you've been able to help with your platform and make that some kind of Google searchable tag. So that as you search for rentals in this area, is there a tag that then makes it more searchable to pull that into the search results? You know, there's probably some ways to do that. And obviously AI is going to help, but if there was a portal or some tool that you could, you know, even make that a third-party API integration where people could create their own, I don't know, regional, like, hey, come to Park City. I live in Park City. ParkCityDirectRentals.com. I could have an API connect into everyone using your tool and then somehow have it tagged to all those properties as a search option. I don't know. Just thinking out loud.
No, I'm like grinning from ear to ear because that's literally something that we're working on right now. And so the fact that you suggested it and see the value in that is huge validation.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. I think it's really, really cool. I've seen some other industries do things like this. And so it is a fascinating thing because I think that the next generation of search is going to be very much a tool of, well, who has the data? And how available are they making the data? And so as you become a big data aggregator and a big data supplier, this now does put you in a whole different world as Airbnb because you are able to connect the dots for people and give people the option to create the dots themselves. You know, I think it's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, I actually really want to put a fine point on this because one of the products that we're going to be building out in the future, like our long-term vision, is what we call the protocol. And so this, you can think of this essentially as one single source of truth via something like an API, because yeah. what happens in the industry today is, like you said, it's very fragmented. And so right. unlike the hotel industry, you don't have these API feeds where you can get all the hotels in one API. Right. You have to build all these like individual connections. You have to yeah. like go and yeah. find individual owners. It's really hard because as an industry, it's hard for us to scale because there's so much friction, right? And so sure. if Todd, you wanted to come in and create, yeah, like Utah direct bookings, you couldn't do that because there's all of these like gates in place where you have to get permission and
totally,
you know, it just really restricts innovation. And so with the protocol that we're building out, what we want is to have one single source of truth for all vacation rental listing data that
Love
an
it.
Owner would own. They would input it into the protocol. And then anybody who wants to get data from the protocol to do things like build out the direct booking site, to build out yeah. pricing tools, to do anything. Like they don't need to ask permission. They just go to the protocol, basically like get that API
totally.
Access, and then they can
totally.
Build whatever they want. And it's like fundamentally a different way of thinking about data access.
Yeah.
And I think what's happened in like hotels and then vacation rentals is there's this belief that closing data is a moat. But that really restricts innovation, right? And I think that's what's
sure.
really good about Web3 is it's all about openness and accessibility because
sure.
a lot of the roots came from open source. And so I think
right.
that model is really beautiful because open source has been proven to lead to more innovation, not less. And so
totally.
That's very much
totally.
The model that we want to take on is like, how do we make it easier for anybody in the industry to come in? Because if you open it up to access where anybody can get that access, like
yeah.
the industry is only going to grow, right?
Right. Right. No, I love it. I love it. And I think that you're also, I had a guest on yesterday who was re-challenging all of the salons and kind of the beauty industry and opening up a, they call it the Hairbnb of their industry. And it's
Oh my God, that's so
fascinating
funny.
interview. You're gonna love it when you hear this. It's like, I love it because it's like there's a lot of empty chairs in salons that go unused every day. Well, now these work from home, hairstylists can now book a seat for the day and just use it when they have clients and not be paying for it when they don't. It's
I love
interesting
that.
model. Yeah, so there's a lot of really creative fun things going on today, and Web 3.0 is obviously a big piece of that. You talked about your own coin and all that kind of stuff. Like that's a fascinating thing that I haven't yet wrapped my brain around the whole idea of creating your own coins, but I know there's value in it. And so, as you start to build this out, like what tell us about some other highlights along your growth journey so far. I mean, you're not too many years into this, but you're into it long enough that you've had some cool motivational factors. What are some highlights of your journey so far?
I think two that immediately come to mind are our team and then our community. So our
Right.
team is incredible. I always say that they're our secret sauce. Not only are they super experienced in the vacation and rental industry and the
Right.
Web3 industry, but they're people who are just so passionate, who really are there for the right reasons. Like everybody on the team believes in the mission that we're building out, and they really are there because they actually want to make a difference. Like you feel
Cool.
it. And when our community members interact with the team, like they feel it as well. And
Cool.
what we hear from all of our customers is, yeah, the team is the best part of dTravel. Like, that's why we love the team. And
Nice.
our community members, like, it is insane. Like, when people meet our community members, they're just blown away. So there was a conference in the south of Portugal last week, and two of our earliest community members actually went there on our behalf, like, totally just on their
Awesome.
own volition, had a bunch of swag that they had made themselves, and went around promoting dTravel to everybody and basically
Awesome.
were acting like our BD. And these are, I think when we have these stories, you meet
I
these kind of
love
people
it.
who believe so much in the mission and the vision of what we're doing. It just is so powerful, right? And I said this at the beginning, like this is passion and loyalty that you just can't buy. It doesn't come from spending marketing dollars. It comes from making this
Right.
genuine connection with people
Right.
and then them really sharing that vision. And
Totally agree.
I think what's really beautiful is it's not about our vision, it's about co-creating that with the community. And I think that's kind of
Sure.
like how Airbnb started, and I think they've kind of
Yeah.
moved away from that. And that was
Yeah.
always what attracted me to that community and what made me build a community within their community. And so I
Sure.
really want to bring that back. And I think with the community that we're building, that we have built, like people come because they see what the vision of this should be like, right? What vacation
Sure.
rental should be like. And so they want to
Sure.
build it with us.
No, I think it's fascinating. I could foresee, your disruption being similar to what probably needs to happen in the Uber and all the rideshare community. There's the need for some, those innovations took us from a whole different world that we've known all of our lives into this new thing of like, hey, I could rent my house. I could use my car for something, for making money. Like these are great innovations, but what you're doing in disrupting this industry is really kind of that next stage that will hopefully settle it and kind of turn it into a more common place for people to generate revenue and more revenue from their own properties and be able to your point, control it a little bit more. You know what I mean? I think
Yeah,
it's
I
cool.
think when you give people an ownership in the things that they're building, they just are so much more invested, right? Because they know that they are now owners in it. And I really like what you said, which is all of these companies, like we need to give them credit for all the foundational work that they've done, right? Like every company that comes before lays the groundwork and then you build on top of that. So I think that companies like Airbnb, Uber, they've done a phenomenal job in innovating at the time. And I still think that they're doing a lot of really great things, but for the people who want something different, that's what we're here to offer. So
Very cool.
I never feel like it's a bad thing to have some competition.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And they will be competing as they see your, probably this podcast could drive a lot of that concern for them. I'm just kidding.
I'm sure.
But here's the thing. The growth never comes easy. And as you have been building and seeing the success you have, you got a great community, got a great team, all this kind of really feel good stuff going on. Tell us about the challenges, because I know it doesn't happen just like snap of a finger, boom, we've got something cool. Are there things that you were a little bit surprised in trying to grow this that kind of halted you in your tracks for a minute until you had to build a workaround?
I think any startup always struggles with prioritization, right? Because there's a million things that you could do and there's a million cool things that you want to do. And so how do you pick? And sometimes it's not even about picking the right thing. It's picking the right thing at the right time. Because let's say you made a bet on it today, but it actually doesn't materialize or it wasn't the right timing until years later, then, it's still wrong timing. And so that's something that I think we've really tried to address internally by, we have this quote that we design holistically, but build incrementally. So we build sort of with the end in mind, but we take small steps so that we can always adjust at any time. And then we really try to do planning on a quarterly basis to stay really focused instead of trying to do too many things at once, but then building in the flexibility so that we can adapt and change and prioritize other things if we want. And I think with early stage startups, it's really hard to have the discipline and the processes in place to do that because, 100%. Early stage startups, especially, they tend to be a little bit chaotic, but I think that really makes a big difference because if everybody knows what your priorities are, nobody's confused. Everybody's rowing in the same direction. And something else that our product manager has done really well is he usually has like two or three things that are ready to go. So all the requirements are there so that just in case one gets delayed or we have to prioritize something else, it's not like we're waiting around until we have to get those priorities ready. So I think that's something that's really helped us a lot. And I would definitely suggest that startups do the same thing.
Love it. Now, everything you just said is right out of my playbook. I do a lot of consulting with people who are in that growth and scaling stage. They're post-launch and everything's exciting, chaotic, and all right, what do we do next? And I think that you've really pulled a good page out because alignment is probably the biggest problem, and alignment needs to happen at least quarterly. I mean, you talked about that being almost hyper-regular. I almost think monthly for the first few years is really good time to just kind of say, okay, guys, where are we at? Where's our goal? Are we headed that direction still? You know what I mean? Have we veered off the course too far? And as you have a leadership team, like sounds like your product guy is totally aligned with you and what you got going on. Like as you get all these teams aligned, that's where you do see the growth. And that's where investors see, hey, these guys are actually on a path and they're moving fast down the path. They're not just like crossing it every once in a while. You know what I mean? So I think what you're doing is fascinating. I'm assuming you've raised some money to date, or where are you at revenue wise?
We have, we've raised some money and we're still pretty early stage. So we launched our DTravel Direct product last June. And I think one of the challenges has been for us is that we required you to have a property management system to connect to DTravel and use it. But this week, we're actually removing that requirement. And so, any property manager that wants to use DTravel today to create a direct booking website or even just a direct booking link that they can send to somebody can do that. And so we're super, super excited because we have 5,000 property managers on our wait list who have been waiting for over a year. So now we can finally unlock that and get them off the wait list. So we're all really super excited about that. Yeah.
Well, everybody's excited about that kind of stuff. That's who doesn't want 5,000 enrollments in a month, right? Yeah. Waitlist
10,000 with your podcast, Todd.
Dude, we're going. We're getting there. We're going to do this. Cynthia, we're totally on board. Now, this has really been a fun conversation, Cynthia. And I really love your passion. I love what you're doing. The problem you're solving is so personal and it comes out in everything you're saying because just the look in your face and everything you're saying, it just screams, we're doing this because I need it. And I know other people like me need it too. We're going there. So I love products like that. Really fun.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it is very much a personal problem that I'm solving. So every day I love waking up and being able to talk to our community, work on this problem, and just right. like be innovative and be creative.
Now, we do need to wrap up, but I want you to just to you know, talk about your community, because a lot of businesses fail to do this. And I think that honestly, for those of you listening, if you don't know who your community is and you don't have a community, you got to start a community. Will you just kind of lean into that for just a minute? Because how much have they helped you develop your product?
Oh, huge. Like, we right? literally have calls with our customers every week. We have a product request board, but like, we have personal relationships with all of our customers. And so I think, especially in the early days, that's what yeah. you need, right? Because you are kind of the product. Like, when you don't have a robust right. product, your right. team, your customer service, that is part of the product that you're delivering. And so that 100%. Doesn't become scalable over time, but that's how you have people who are just like so bought into everything that you do. They become right. your like 100 true fans. They'll buy anything that you say because totally. You showed up and you like really resonated with them on a personal level. And, you know, most companies don't do that anymore.
I love that. I love that. And if you haven't read 100 True Fans, you know, you really got to check that stuff out too. You know, you're dropping some good info all over the place, Cynthia. So thanks again for all that you've done. Thanks for sharing your story. And who is it that you'd like to shout out? I always ask this of everyone, because there's always somebody or a group that's kind of helped them as they've been leaning into their business, make sure they're leaning the right way.
Well, you know, I definitely have to thank my team. Like, they are incredible. I also have a coach, Tim Adams. He's just literally changed my life.
Love it.
And so I could not recommend him more. But yeah, I'd say he definitely has been such a game changer for me personally.
Fantastic.
And personally.
What made you think you needed a coach?
You know, it's like that saying, when, oh, what is it? When you're ready for the teacher, then the teacher appears, or whatever that quote is. And right, so right. I was looking for an executive coach, and I found him from a friend, and he's actually like a holistic coach. So he actually works with you cool. on like a physical level, career, emotional, everything. And he basically was able to help me optimize all areas of my life. And I think the last year has been really a testament to everything that we've worked on together. And I definitely
Fantastic.
Maybe would have gotten there eventually, but yeah.
No, it helps to have a guide. I mean, even, you know, even Luke Skywalker needed Obi-Wan.
Yeah, exactly.
So I love it. Thanks for sharing that. And thanks for, honestly, for those of you listening, if you don't have a coach, you don't have a community, you're really, really disconnecting yourself from problem solving quicker and understanding the needs of your clients better. Do both of those things. You need to lean into that hard. Cynthia, you're amazing. Thanks for sharing your story. Thanks for being with us. And the rest of you, we look forward to catching up with you on the next episode. But thank you, Cynthia, for being here. Agency Sweetheart, I just love her mind, her mindset, her energy, the business. I think it's fantastic. Honestly, there's a lot of great businesses I talk to. And the one thing that I loved most about Cynthia is her ability to create that groundswell, to create that community of other people that were also property managers, picking their brain, understanding what they needed, the needs that they had in the industry she was in, and now she's developed a product to fix some of those problems. I love it. I love things like that. Well, part of her inspiration has come from her community. My ask of you is to join a community of sorts, either an industry specific community or a group of people who are building and operating and growing their businesses just like you. If you're a business operator or someone trying to grow and scale your company, you need community. You need someone who can bounce those ideas off with you and say, that's really stupid. What about your employees? What about that? That is what Captain's Council is all about. CaptainsCouncil.com is a community of other CEOs who are building and growing their businesses right now. It's for founders, it's for CEOs, it's for people who are in those roles and positions where growth and scaling is critical. If you're one of those people and you need that feedback and you need that community and you need that support of other people, this is where you go. CaptainsCouncil.com is a modern way of looking at community within our CEO peer groups. Small intimate groups where people get to really know your business and your problems, and also a global community of all of our members all over the world. It's a fascinating model. It's a very creative way to connect and build and grow and implement the strategy that you're trying to do for your business. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks so much for being a part of our community of the Growth and Scaling podcast. We hope you catch up with the next episodes, and don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. It does mean a lot to us when you do so. So if you haven't done so already, click that button. Let's get you on to every episode we've done, because this is changing the world. We love our business founders and operators. Thanks so much for all you do. We'll see you on the next one.